We want to welcome you to our Faith Promise service this Sunday. It's an exciting time just to go over what God has done through our congregation this year and the way He's directed and led us. And we want to thank you all for so much for your participation in giving and sharing and praying for our missionaries, our short-term missions, and the projects that God has done through Faith Promise this year. I'd like to first introduce the Faith Promise Missions Committee to you. Of course, Pastor Joe is a very important part of our, he gives us a lot of direction because he's always on missions. He's always a part of that. And then we have Ann Foss. Is she in the, okay, she's in the back there. We have Don and Martha Christie. Where are they at? Okay, right here. Okay, Martha's in the kitchen. All right, she's doing her part back there. We have Jacob and Naomi Hobson. Let's see, I'm not sure where they're at. I don't see them right now, but they're, oh, he's in the back. And Naomi might be in the kitchen as well. I'm not sure. Anyhow, and then my wife Karen, she's back there by the kitchen as well. So, anyhow, it's just a great Sunday to celebrate what God's doing throughout the earth today. And I'd just like to ask all of you that have been on, let's go with the long-term missions first. All of you that have been in long-term missions and have been a part of this church, would you please stand? I know we have a number of you that have been on the missions field. And would you please stand? I know there's, I don't know if Rick and I saw Rick a little while ago, Elvin, Leslie, Dudley, Krista. She's no longer Dylan. I keep thinking of her Dylan. She's now become one. And anyhow, there's more that weren't able to make it this morning. And now all of you that have been on short-term missions, would you stand? That have are part of this church today. Okay, we've got a lot of people that have been either on long-term and short-term missions. If you haven't been on a short-term missions, I just want to encourage you to participate sometime because God will use it to really give you a heart for people in other parts of the world. You know, sometimes when we think we don't have enough to buy a supersized meal at McDonald's, we think we're pretty hard up. But, you know, when you go to some other countries and you see that what they live on every day, maybe some countries a few dollars a day, you really begin to see how God can use even the little that you, maybe you may not be able to give much, but just a little bit that you can give that will contribute towards His heart to reach the lost and how far that dollar will reach in other countries. So anyhow, I don't want to spend a real long time on that, but I just want to go through what God has done in missions. And our theme this year is Back to Acts, Missions 2013, because we're going to first go through what God has done in 2013 through our congregation. Okay, in 2013, you gave $31,231. We thank you for that. Thank you for that. Without your giving, this wouldn't be possible. Okay, and then in 2013, we took of that $31,000, we dispersed all of it except $300 and some dollars, but we dispersed $30,850. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we gave $4,800 to Peru, and of that, Valerie and Chrissy, down in Peru, do church planting and children's ministry. We supported them. They're one of our long-term missionaries with $2,400. And they do a great work down there. Gary and Amelia Tebby with their family down there. They do church planting, pastoring, discipleship. They have a school where they whoever comes to the school at that point. They have it out of their home, I believe, still. And they've just graduated a number of students here recently. He sent me some photos of, but I don't have time to get into that this morning. But If you'd like to see more, we can show you more. Okay, next one was Croatia, which Elvin is here this morning. He's moved back. He's moved back from Croatia. So to be in the U.S. for this season, they did church planting, children's ministries, and they are taking a team to Croatia this summer. So a team is going this summer to Croatia to, because they still have a heart for the people of Croatia. God's given them that heart. All right, next, Mexico, 5,600. And of that 5,600, Nathan and Laura Cole, they're doing church planting, pastoring, discipleship. We supported them with 3,600 this past year. They're one of our long-term missionaries. They have a lot of things going on down in Mexico that God has, the church, just a very flourishing church. Then we had church construction that we gave $2,000 for, that you see John Fowle there building the church there on the right-hand side, the photo on the right, and the team, Tulancingo, yes. That was in Tulancingo. And Pastor Joel there waving his hand at us with the, I'm sorry? Oh, you're waving at him. Okay, thank you. And there's a whole team. You can't, maybe may not be able to recognize them all, but they're all there. Went down for 6 weeks to help not only to build the church, four rooms onto the church, but also just adapt to the Mexican culture. All right, next we did Romania. We did 4,200. And of that 4,200, we supported Pastor Joe started a prison ministry in Romania. And we supported that man with $100 a month, which comes out to $1,200 a year, so to start a new thing in Romania, which is a chaplain prison ministry. All right, next, we did a church plant. This is not the church here, but it's similar to the churches in Romania. We helped do a church plant in Buzoi, I believe it is, Romania, and we supported that with $3,000. All right, next we did Cuba. We gave $2,700 to, and of that $2,700, we supported a pastor and actually the presbyter of the whole Assemblies of God in Cuba, or at least in that part of Cuba, which is on my left, is Eduardo Naomi Gonzalez, and their son, Waldy, and his family, he's actually a pastor of a church down there that we're supporting with $100 a month. Also in Cuba, we did I've got the wrong picture on here. I'm sorry. For some reason, my mind blanked out. So last year we did the children's ministry. This year we actually put a roof for a pastor. When we were down in Cuba last year, there was this church that was just, it was all completed except for the roof. And so I remember Patrick Heath was down there, and he began just to pray over this church, and we just really all felt just an anointing there. And I mentioned it to Pastor Joe, and he got with Eduardo, and it was definitely something that God was doing. And so this past when was it, Joe? This past year we went ahead and were able to complete the church down there, complete the church roof. So thank God for that. And also after that, Zambia, Africa, we supported them with $200 a year, $200 a month this past year with the school and orphanage there. All right, let's go on to the next one. Zimbabwe, Africa. We supported Jessica Shumba, who was a part of this congregation, and she's teaching at the YWAM schools, doing children's ministry. Hopefully we'll be here in May. We're hoping to see her in May. She wrote us recently and said she may be able to come back and share at the church in May. So we were able to support Africa with that as well. Then we had short-term missions. What you see on the left there is Israel, kids ministry, it was actually a kids playground that we completed that the Calvary Commission completed, where we helped them go on the short-term missions. Then we also had a short-term missions trip to Belize. Down at the bottom there, you see Jeff Nichols, and who's a head chaplain in Belize there, of the prison ministry. And then at the right there is Katie Rhodes, who went out on short-term missions to Italy. Okay, let's go ahead and do the next ones. The Philippines was 1,400. And of that 1,400, we supported Tony and Christy Gingrich, who were here last fall. And so we were able to begin their monthly support, of which will be $200 a month this year. So we were able to support them. They're doing church building and planting in the Philippines. And then that last of all here, we have the Kenna family. And they did evangelism, prison ministry, and discipleship in the Philippines. We were able to help them. They went for 6 months. They're just getting their feet wet, and they want to go back for more, I hear. So they're going to share this morning. All right. So $30,850 was dispersed. 56% went to long-term missionaries. 29% went to missions projects, which includes church planting, orphanage, and so forth. 15% went to short-term missions. So that's just an overview of what God did with your money that you gave. And we thank you so much. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a little or a lot. Whatever God puts on your heart to give, you give as He directs, and He'll use it for His kingdom. And then I just have put on this last slide here, just how will we respond to God's call in missions this year, 2014? Because our theme is back to Acts, yielding our finances for Him to use as He desires, as the early church did. You know, we're a community here, not only here, but across the world. We're a community of Christian believers and those that are reaching out to those around us in our community and around the world. Will we willingly yield ourselves to be used as God desires, both here and abroad? And that means not only, you know, asking God what you can give in the faith promise this year, but it also means, Lord, is there a short-term mission project I can go on to get your heart for some country that you want me to have? Or maybe God is calling you to go to another nation, another country. So that's all I have, and I just want to thank you again for being a part of this today.
I remember a number of years ago telling Pastor Joe.
Me acuerdo hace algunos años le dije al Pastor Joe.
This is the best kept secret on this planet.
Este es el mejor secreto que se ha guardado en este planeta.
The impact that this small group of people have made.
El impacto que este grupo tan chico ha logrado en este mundo.
It's just phenomenal.
Es fenomenal.
Let me share a couple of words of scripture to you before we pray together.
Quiero compartirles un par de escrituras antes de orar juntos.
This passage is found on your napkin holder. You find the word of God in many places here.
Lo vas a encontrar ahí en tu donde tienes tu servilleta.
This is our kind of our theme scripture for today. Let me share this with you. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul.
Ahora esta es la escritura que es nuestro lema hoy. Dice, ahora la multitud de los que habían creído eran de un corazón y un alma.
And there was no one among them who lacked.
Y no hubo entre ellos quien tuviera falta.
That's a perfect description of the community of believers in the book of Acts.
Describe perfectamente la comunidad de cristianos en el libro de Hechos.
I want to add that very briefly, a word from the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 10.
Y a eso quiero añadir una cita en el libro de Romanos, capítulo 10, del apóstol Pablo.
For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed.
La escritura dice, estamos en versículo, capítulo 10, versículo 11. La escritura dice, todo aquel que en él cree no será defraudado.
For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call on his name.
Porque no hay diferencia entre judío y griego, pues el mismo que es el Señor de todos es rico para con todos los que le invocan.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Ya que todo aquel que invoque el nombre del Señor será salvo.
Listen now to what Paul adds to that. It says, how then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed?
Escucha ahora lo que dice Pablo. Dice, ¿cómo pues invocarán a aquel en el cual no han creído?
How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
¿Y cómo creerán en aquel de quien no han oído?
How shall they hear without a preacher?
¿Y cómo oirán sin haber quien les predique?
And how shall they preach except he be sent?
¿Y cómo predicarán si no son enviados?
It starts right here in a group like this.
Aquí mismo inicia en un grupo como este.
Many have been sent from this room, from this fellowship. Many more will be, we pray.
Son muchos los que han sido enviados de este grupo, de este compañerismo que tenemos aquí, y oramos que sean muchos más.
And as Joe quoted the scripture from Isaiah early on.
Y como el hermano Joe compartió una escritura del libro de Jeremías antes.
Are we willing to be in Isaiah and be sent? For how will they hear?
Perdón, el libro de Isaías. Y la pregunta sí es que estamos dispuestos a ser como Isaías y ser enviados.
Let's join together and pray.
Vamos a estar de acuerdo en oración.
Holy Father, we gather together this morning to worship you and to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ.
Santo Padre, nos unimos esta mañana para adorar y glorificar a nuestro Señor Jesucristo.
Lord, we worship you as our Savior. We worship you as our healer, our righteousness. Father, we worship you as Lord of the harvest.
Señor, te adoramos como Salvador, como Sanador, como nuestra justicia, como el Señor de la cosecha.
And we worship you, Lord, as our soon coming King.
Y te adoramos, Señor, como nuestro Rey que pronto vuelve, volverás.
Father, may we make the most of the commission that you have given us in the days that are left.
Señor, que aprovechemos al máximo la gran comisión y los días que nos quedan.
Help us, Father God, to walk in the simplicity of Christ.
Ayúdanos, Señor, a caminar en la sencillez de Cristo.
keep our vision single and focused on the mission that you've given to us.
Manténnos con visión única, enfocada en la visión, la misión que tú nos has entregado.
Deliver us, Father God, from the tyranny of the demands that are made upon us for our time and our resources.
Líbranos, Señor, de la esclavizarnos a las cosas que demanda de nuestro tiempo y de nuestro dinero.
Holy Father, just keep our minds fixed on the race that is set before us.
Santo Padre, guarda nuestra mirada enfocada en la carrera que tenemos por delante.
Holy God, may we proclaim the gospel with a holy boldness.
Santo Dios, que proclamemos el Evangelio con un denuedo santo.
Let that boldness, Father God, be untainted by any pride or arrogance, because there's nothing that we bring, Father.
Señor Dios, que ese denuedo sea sin mancha de orgullo y arrogancia, porque nada proviene de nosotros.
Grant us, Father God, to be clothed with humility, for you resist the proud and give grace unto the humble.
Concédenos, Dios, que estemos vestidos de humildad, pues tú resistes al soberbio y das gracia al humilde.
Thank you, Father God, again, that you have called us and made us partakers of the ministry of reconciliation.
Gracias, Padre nuestro, que nos has llamado y nos has hecho colaboradores del ministerio de reconciliación.
Bless us, Father God, as we go forth from this place and into the nations.
Bendícenos, Dios, al salir de aquí y ser llevados a las naciones en el nombre de Jesús. Amen. Amén.
Good morning, everyone. I think I know everybody here, but in case some of you don't know us, we're the Kennas. I'm Joe. This is my wife, Mary, my daughter, Maddie, and my son, Eli. And I also have another son there, Eric, and our daughter, Lauren, is at home sick. She texted me this morning, and she's at home with her husband, Elle. And I'll hand it over to Mary. She's going to discuss a little bit about our calling.
Good morning. Many of you have already heard this, so I'll make it brief. But we just want to share that, you know, God is so faithful. And when I was a little girl about Eli's age, maybe a little bit younger, I lived in St. Louis, Missouri, and my parents were serving the Lord. And I went and saw Mother Teresa's, some of her nuns. And ever since that moment, I had a desire. I wanted to go to India. I wanted to be with those people. I wanted to love the unlovable and just, you know, just bring the love of Jesus to those people that just didn't have. So anyways, that has always been my heart. And later I got married, and I didn't know how that would ever happen. I still had a desire to serve the Lord. And that didn't leave me. And there were times in my life where I said, Lord, take this desire away to go to a foreign country because I want to serve you, but I'm married. I have a husband. I have children. How can this happen? And in 2001, Joe and I took our first short-term mission trip together. It was actually probably the first time we were ever away from our children. We didn't even have this one at the time. She was about two. And we went to Mazatlan, Mexico for about 10 days. And we fell in love with the people there and just, it was just a wonderful time. And although Joe, I was thinking about it last night and I was laughing because he spent half the time there sick. He bumped his head on a van with a board on it and had a big knot on his head. He shoveled dirt from one pile to another, and he mixed concrete by hand. And what else did you do that trip? Oh, and he also had burnt hands from cutting jalapeno peppers without gloves. because we were on it. We had a food truck, hundreds of them, yeah. So Joe didn't have the best experience, but we came back from that. And, of course, my heart, once again, God renewed that flame in me to get out there and go to the nations. So, and I say that because that has just always been my prayer. And, Lord, if it's your will, then you'll speak it to my husband, and it will be his will too. And he was back and forth, and in 2004, those of you who know briefly, Joe got very sick. He basically died. He was without breath and on the table for over an hour, we know, without a heartbeat, and they revived him and brought him back to life, praise God. And we went through four very difficult years. He had loss of memory and lots of other things. So God allowed us to walk through these things, but he is so faithful to deliver us out of them. And he stands here today, you know, with most of his memories better. He still occasionally has a problem, but God is so faithful. Then we moved to Texas in 2008 after he had job loss. So we've been through many things. The Lord has just really even taken us when Joe was worked in computers. And, you know, we made a great salary, had a new home in St. Louis. And, you know, we had everything. But the Lord brought us here and cut that all in half, you know. And I look at that and I say, he was preparing us. He was preparing our children. So he's so faithful. We moved to Texas, but it took us 2 years to get here to this church. So it'll be 4 years this year, 2010, and I'm sorry if I'm going fast, but we have much to share and little time to do it in. So 2010, we arrived at Church of Living Hope. We came here, it was right around Easter time, and we just knew. We were like, this is home. This is where the Lord has for us. And ever since then, we were serving in this church. And it was that year of 2010 that we went to the conference for the first time. And that Sunday, Joab Lahara was speaking here. In India, of course, you know, that has always been on my heart. And Joab Lahara was speaking, and we were sitting where we used to sit right behind Joe and Charlotte, I think, at that time. And even back then, we sat there. But we were very new to the church. We'd only been here a few months. And I thought Joe's blood sugars, he's type 1 diabetic, and I thought his blood sugars or something was wrong because he was sitting there, and I thought, something's wrong. And so I asked him after church, Joe, are you okay in church? And he said, yeah, the Lord spoke to me. And he told me that despite my diabetes, despite my illness, that he's going to send me on the mission field, that we're going to go as a family, and that he's going to take care of us. And that was in 2010. And he was thinking at that point he was going to go back for his master's in computer science, and so he could make a better living. And he said, no, we're not going to do that. And we went to Vision on Saturdays here with Philip Dillon, and we took the classes, and then we were part of that graduation that year, the next year, I guess 2011. We were part of that graduation out at Calvary, and that was a joy to be a part of that as well. And so from there, we just kept asking the Lord, when is it time? So anyways, to make this quick, last January, Joe and I prayed, and we felt like the Lord had said in 1 year he will be sending us out. And, you know, I had told my sister that, and she said, we really felt a heart for the Philippines for a long time. We knew of this program that YWAM was doing. It was called a family discipleship training, and Joe will talk a little bit more about that quickly. But anyways, what happened was that was in January. We prayed. We thought it would be like right now that the Lord would be sending us out. Well, February, Joe gets notice that he got laid off from Trinity Mother Francis. He had only been there 10 months, and they did a bunch of layoffs. I think they laid off 80 people. And we went right to Joe, and we said, you know, we believe the Lord is moving us this year. And, you know, with the support of Joe and this church, you know, we went on and pursued what we believed that God had called us to do. And that was to go to the Philippines. And so we quickly prepared. So we did that. That was last February. And we left here in June, went home to see our family for a few weeks, stopped in Hawaii to see my friend who's married to a Filipino and who kind of have those connections in the YWAM. And then we arrived in the Philippines, and I'm going to hand it over to Joe. He's going to tell you a little bit about our training school that we went through there. And then after that, we're going to allow the children to share, because we did a family ministry training, and we feel it's really important that we include our children. Sorry, they're confusing here. And then after that, we have a quick slideshow to show you so that you can see what we did while we were there. And then after that, we'll just come back real quick and say one more quick thing. So,
she's never at a lack for words. anyway, we spent July of this past year through October of this past year in a YWAM discipleship training course for families. And the location of this YWAM base was in Lawakan, which is right next to a mountain airfield, about 10 to 15 minutes outside of downtown Baguio. So there are hills everywhere there. If you go anywhere, you're either going down a hill or up a hill. So, and that's the area. It's tropical, but it's mountainous. So you have tall pine trees right next to banana and mango and all other kinds of tropical trees there. It's very beautiful. And a description of the school, we were, the first 3 months of the school, we were in lecture phases every day, and we covered topics like worship and intercession, hearing the voice of God, different methods of Bible study, the character and nature of God, one story, Bible storytelling, relationships and marriage, and we spent a whole week on each of these subjects. So we really got an in-depth perspective on what these types of studies are about, or what these subjects are about. And we actually had a different speaker come in and spend the week with us. So it was very interesting because we got different perspectives from different areas and different nations on these topics. So our last week was for missions and the poor and needy, which was very interesting. We found out a lot of stuff that we didn't necessarily know before that. Cultures of the poor and needy, the way different cultures are oppressed, or the way different cultures are, or have resources in different nationalities and stuff like that. And the children's program, the children attended a mini DTS, which means they were learning everything that we were learning in the classroom, but they were just with the children's teacher. And they did homeschool. What, in the morning you did homeschool? And in the afternoon they would do the mini DTS. So they would cover the same topics that we were covering in our classes during the day. And the last week there was the week we prepared for outreach. And what we did was start preparing one story as a method of telling Bible stories to cultures who don't yet have languages. So you draw pictures on a board, and it's a way to also learn a Bible study very easily without reading it in a book. You just look at these pictures, and it's all there for you on a whiteboard or on a piece of paper that you flip over an easel or something like that. So it was very interesting. We learned that, as well as how to prepare and tell stories to make it interesting, do dramas with stories and stuff like that. And we also spent this last week preparing several skits and preparing several dramas, learning songs by heart and stuff like that to just do with these people when we went out and ministered to them. So next we're going to let Eli share about our outreach phase that was in Sagada. So take it away, Eli. Do what you want to do. Say where we went and when we were there.
I don't like microphones.
Just hold it up there or speak really, okay. Speak really loud. Hold it right there and speak really loud.
First, wait. Take this. Okay. On the 12th week of being in the Philippines, we went to Sagada Mountain Province. From October 4th to November 10th, and it was a six-hour drive north of Baguio up the mountains, 80 miles, and it was a small tourist town, knowing for its natural beauty, weaving, caves, rice terraces, and hanging coffins.
Yeah.
Okay, and we stayed in an inn called Kanawe Inn, and it was a small four-story hotel, and it was a walking distance from about everything, mostly, and it was nice for there, but compared to here, not too much. And for outreach, we did preschool ministries. The girls would be inside with all the different age groups, and they would do Play-Doh, painting, macaroni art, and stuff like that. And then me and all the other guys would be outside doing hula hoops and balls and jump ropes and just different activities. And So my favorite right here was park outreach. We would go to the park on Saturdays. We did that 4 times, and we would just do most of the same stuff. We would play soccer and just different games. And, yeah, so a lot of sports. And they would bring a rope for a hula hoop, and we'd do that, like, a lot. We did elementary school teachings. We went there and did our storyboards, like she told you. We would do those, and me and Maddie would say it while they would hold it up or tape it somewhere. And, yeah, and we'd call, like, 6 kids up and then have them act out the story that we had. And we did the Good Samaritan most of the time for the storyboards. And, okay, we did ministering in churches. What was it called? Family Values?
Family Values, yeah.
Okay, we did Family Values teaching in church. And we would go in there and do a sermon or something, testimonies, and sometimes a storyboard. And do skits. We would do, like,
the me-me-me's.
2 dances and 3 dramas that we did the whole time through outreach. And, let's see, yeah, okay, and we did Sunday school, okay. VBS is here. We did VBS, and we would rotate groups, and again, the girls were inside and the guys were outside, and we did the same games mostly everywhere we went, and crafts, and we did family life seminars and teaching.
Is there anything special?
I have no idea what that is.
Is there anything you want to say about what you thought was special when we were there?
Oh, we did high school ministry and talked to them about drugs and alcohol. One of the girls on our team brought her iPad and had like a 1-hour speech on how smoking is bad for you. And and we did skits there too and dramas. And we went there every week.
Yeah.
Once a week.
No, just 2.
Oh, just 2? Okay. yeah, I guess that's about it.
Awesome. Good job, Eli. Takes after his mom.
So after we were in Sagada for about a month, we headed back down. We went to Baguio for the night, which is where we did the training in the first place. And then the next day, we headed down to Nisigbu, which is in Batangas, which is down in the lowland. So it's right by the ocean, and it's a completely different culture down there. When we first got there, as I said, it's a different culture. We realized all the differences immediately. In the area, there's a lot of Catholic there. There's a lot of cults and just different. I mean, it's all over the Philippines, but down there especially. And the strongholds down there, there's a lot of gambling that so many people there take place in. And then identity confusion. We were at the plaza, the park, one of the first days we were there. I think it's like the first day we were there, actually. And one of the little boys, he was about 10 years old, he told us that he preferred to be called a she because, he's only 10, and he's already saying that. I had never seen this type of stuff advantage I had there. It's in the Philippines everywhere, and it's even here, but when we were down there, I just saw it so much more, and even, 10-year-old little kids, and it was sad, and they need Jesus, and they need to know that they need to know who they are in Christ. And the languages down there, it's different because they mainly speak Tagalog down there. Which in Baguio and Sagada, they speak a lot of English, so it's a lot easier. But down there, mainly Tagalog, so we did have to do a lot of translating. So that was a little harder, but it still went really good. And then while we were there, we were staying with King Kids Ministry, which is a ministry, it's off of YWAM, and they mainly focus on working with kids in the area. We went to the plaza. Actually, we went to the plaza, I think, 3 times a week, and which is the park. In the town center, and we got to play with the kids and talk to them, and sometimes we get to talk to just adults or teenagers or several times I got to talk to some teenagers. Some of the kids there, you see, I mean, a lot of the kids down there, they're all poor, but there was one family in particular. There were five kids, and the oldest, I think, was nine. He's a little bit younger than Eli, and he was there just with his four siblings, and they were the happiest kids I have ever met, and they were just playing, and they weren't begging, which is really surprising, because normally they are. And so I didn't have much money in my pocket that day. I only had a few pesos, so I just went and got them each a lollipop, and I took them to them, and they were so happy over these little lollipops. I had never seen kids just so happy over it, and so it was really good, though, because after just seeing all the begging, and all the kids, when they beg, they're getting sent out by adults usually, so they're not coming out for food. They're coming out because adults are sending them out for money. So you have to be really careful about giving them stuff. So with these kids, they weren't doing that at all, and so I gave them just lollipops, and they were so happy. But we did more ministry at churches and family life seminars throughout the week. One of the churches we went to, which is the City of God, it's one of the big churches there. They had an evangelistic concert the second week we were there. And so we got to go, and they actually let us be a part of that. So we got to perform some of our drama, the Everything drama, and we did our dance, and it was really good. And then each Saturday we went to Labak Fishing Village, which is a really poor fishing village, about 30 minutes away from where we were staying. And we would usually go and do some worship with them, kids' songs, and then we would split up into groups and do little Bible study sessions with them. And then one of the other things we did is jail ministry. We did that every Friday? Every Friday we went to the jail. And so there they let all the kids come in, and so we were able to go in, and we got to take part in doing that. Well, because it's small, we'll kind of sit outside, but they usually only have like two or three people each week from our group speak or share testimonies. Well, the last week, the leader of our team, he told me that I needed to share my testimony in the jail. And I shared my testimony while we were there. I wasn't quite prepared to share it in the jail. I don't know why. I was really freaking out, though. And so at the last minute, as we were there, I almost backed out. And I was praying during worship at the jail. And I really felt like I needed to do it. And if I didn't, that would just be disobeying the Lord. So I did it. And it ended up turning out that me, my mom, and then another lady on a team who was doing the sermon that day, we all shared the same scripture verse. And that was not planned in any way. And so it was really neat getting to see that, because I know the Lord wanted me to share that day. So, Oh, it was Jeremiah 29:11, by the way, that we each shared. So I think that's about it, since we're trying to keep it short, but yeah.
Okay, so now we have a quick slide presentation with some music, and then after that, Joe and I are going to get back up here just for like 3 minutes, and then we'll wrap it up.
Tell everyone that you're the true. Make it like you. Take my hand. I lift them high. They're yours, not mine to do. Do what you will. Do what you will. Do what you will.
One thing I forgot to share was we, as a school, were fairly diverse. We had 4 Western families and 5 Filipino families. We had Marlon and Rose that were a couple in their 50s, Mary and I, 50s or 60s, Mary and I, and Sam and Irene. Sam was from Spain and Irene was from California, and Kevin and Charity were both from the Philippines. And on the other team, there was Tom and Melba that were from a fishing village in the south, right? On Island North. And then we had Tony and Minda, who were from Mindanao, which is the southernmost island of the Philippines. And then Noel and Anna, which were from Manila area. And then who else? Elsie and David, who were from a town about, 20 minutes away from us. And they had 3 young boys. So it was a family ministry, and we were quite diverse. Wally and Joy. Wally was Canadian and Joy was Filipino. So, I would like to thank Joe and Charlotte and the church and the Faith Promise Committee for supporting us when we were there. And when we went to Joe initially and spoke about our heart to attend the school in the Philippines, Joe said, "Well, we're behind you 100%. And I thought that meant praying for us and supporting us with some nice emails and stuff like that. I didn't really expect to be supported monetarily, so that was great and a very good surprise for us, and it enabled us to have, it really took a load off us in making money go from month to month, so we were able to concentrate on our school and ministry while we were there. I believe that everyone has a calling, whether you're a sender or a goer or a supporter. I think everybody has a calling, and one of our memory verses that we had to memorize when we were in the school was Jeremiah 29. Let me see. I got it up here somewhere. It's on my Bible. I did memorize it, but remember it was week one. You still know it, Eli? Do you want to come up and say it? Come on, Eli. All right, young people have good memories, apparently. So Eli is going to share. Yeah, 11 through 14a. Yeah. If you need some help, it's right here.
Okay, I got to think it through real quick.
Let him think.
Okay. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will come call upon me and pray to me, and I will answer.
Seek me and find me.
Oh, yeah. You'll seek me and find me if you seek me with all your heart.
I will be found.
I will be found by you, declares the Lord.
All right. Good job, Eli. Thank you. And I just want to say thank you again for all your support when we were there at the school. It was great communicating. Joe and Charlotte emailed us occasionally, which was great. And we were following everybody on Facebook when we could. The internet connection was kind of sketchy at times, but we did all we could. So, Mary, do you want to share anything else?
I just want to say thank you again, Joe and Charlotte, Church of Living Hope and Faith Promise Committee. And I just also want to encourage any of you, if God has put anything on your hearts, whether it be just to send people, you know, I have a friend and God raised her up in business and I know she contributes much into missions, or whether it be like us, just a family, you know, that fills that call, and we finally saw God's faithfulness in that, you know, and we waited on his timing. We didn't just rush out the door, but his timing is perfect, and so we just want to encourage all of you, and, you know, of course, we are just praying about what's next for us and what God has, and we definitely know that's going to be in missions, and we're just waiting on the Lord for that, so hopefully next time we see you, we will know what that is exactly. We have some ideas, and we kind of have some direction from the Lord, but we're just waiting. I think we're going to be back in a time now. Just we need to get the kids back into their school because they are homeschooled, and we need to focus on that for a few months. And then I believe once we get there, then the Lord is going to really open those doors and show us the next step. So God bless you all, and thank you for allowing us to share with you today.
This is like a relay race. I just got handed the microphone. I do believe that the greatest part of that team was Eli, don't you? They said because of him they got favor at the jail and the prison and things that were happening there. And so we're so glad to have them back. But I believe they passed the test. And we just welcome them into Calvary Commission, and wherever they want to be sent, we're going to be behind them there as well. And we know that that's going to be something that we'll be hearing more about, because isn't it powerful, someone that said in our congregation could go and experience something like that and come back and continue in missions? That's really what Faith Promise was started, that let's do something from here. Let's see what we can do. And I just thank the Lord for $31,000. For the kingdom, carefully distributed, every penny of it was at a place where it needed to be, and we've seen the results, and what a blessing it has been that we could do that. Now, we've got another year ahead of us. We got a time to project what's going to be coming up in the coming year. Most of the missionaries that we have supported in the past year will be on the agenda for this coming year, but we have some new things that we're going to do as well. And back in October, we had a wonderful team that went to Israel. Everyone that went, would you stand up? Everyone that went to Israel, would you stand up? Yes. Amen. And I've always felt like that, bless the people of Israel and God will bless you. In fact, I believe gift of missions and God will give the church financial blessings. And we are going to build that extension over there. And that's just the beginning of what God's going to do in this area. And thank the Lord, because of faithfulness, this church is paid for. We don't owe anybody on this. But we were so touched in Israel with Moran Rosenblit as our contact there. And we felt like we will be working with him in the future. And the Faith Promise Committee just said, we want to begin to send $100 a month to that Hope for Israel. And then while we were there, we also met Stephen Corey. And Stephen Corey is doing he's part of the Voice of the Martyrs. He is radically, without reservation, ministering openly in Bethlehem, which is totally an Arab area. And I saw a video where that he had put up a sign there at Christmas, and they knew that it would be taken down, but as long as they could keep it up, and then they'd put it back up and back up. So he is radically doing that. And we have felt like that we should project $100 a month this coming year to that ministry, which is called Holy Land Missions. And we were asked to, with our team, if we could take some of his books called The Backyard of Jesus and Bethlehem, The Backyard of Jesus. And we packed them and packed them. And then as we got to Tel Aviv, we found out that one of our bags did not arrive, and it was full of his books. And we tried. They tried everything. John Fowler and I spent an hour and a half in there trying to fill out all the forms and everything that we would be able to get those books. And by the time we left, still no word. We got back here, no word. So I got Patricia Hendricks a hold of it. I'm sorry, Patricia Riley a hold of it. But Hendricks would do good too. But those Patricias are good people. And I said, just keep, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Keep calling U.S. Airs, U.S. Airline, and tell them. And finally, we had to fill out the value of what was lost. And as she asked me what the books were worth, and we put together the other supplies that were in there, well, she filled out a claim for $1,015. And yesterday, we got this check for $1,015 from U.S. Air. And that's going to Stephen Corey, along with the $100 that I put on my credit card to send the bag. And they're going to refund it, too. And now U.S. Air and American Air have got the new American Airlines merger going. So fly American, okay? What a blessing to start with. Plus, we've contacted them, and both Moran in Israel and in Bethlehem, Stephen Corey, that we will, from this church, be supporting them. And comes back, we appreciate it so much. Such an encouragement that is given. And so we are also going to try to help Nathan in Leon with a new vehicle. We're going to put some funds on that. His vehicle that we had supplied is kind of going out, and we need something new. And we're going to help Belize with purchasing the Freedom House that they're renting now that we've done part of. And Jeffrey called me. I had told him, Jeff, if you can get someone to give $5,000, we're going to match it. He needs $20,000 to pay down on that building. And he called me the other day and said, Joe, I've got a check in my hand for $8,000, and I'm sending it back to you to go along with that $5,000 you promised me. So that's 13. So we're going to need 7,000 more. He's going to need 7,000 more for the down payment, unless we can get the lady to drop the down payment a little bit. But we're going to help there. And we're going to continue to work in Peru this year. I will be taking a team in July for the 10th anniversary of that church. And from the very beginning, the first apartment that we rented, this church, Faith Promise, has given $200 a month. And then we built the building and continue $200 a month. And so we're going to continue that, and we're going to be sending some interns to Peru, and we are going to be working with Gary and Amelia Tebby, and they will be coming here in March. We're going to continue to help Peru, Cuba, and Eduardo Gonzalez will be here to speak on the 16th of February. And so we're going to have a missions, and what'd you say? Jessica's coming in May. We're going to have a missions theme all year, and I believe that that's what it is. Globally and locally, or glocally, well, as we would say, we're going to be reaching in to reach out to touch people's hearts for missions. Praise God. We serve a missionary God. You know why? Because he sent his greatest possession, his son, to this earth to die on the cross and to be resurrected from the dead and to call us to fulfill that commission that he left. He has no other plan than that we would be there. And I was listening to Keith Green this morning. He's in heaven, but his song was here. Jesus commands us to go, but we go the other way. Jesus commands us to go. He commands us to go, whether it's by support or actually with our own lives and bodies, as the Kenna family has done this year. How should we get involved? I was thinking about the scripture, 2 Samuel 24:19. I'll just paraphrase. David wanted to buy this threshing floor. So he goes to Arunah and he says, I have oxen for the burnt offering. You can use the threshing floor, ox yokes for wood, build an altar. I'll give it to you, he says, your majesty, and may your God accept your sacrifice. But David replied, no, I insist on buying it, for I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing. You see, sacrifice is needed that we would be able to fulfill the great commission and to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And it's got to cost us something. That means sacrifice. That means that we're going to rearrange our lifestyle a little bit to be involved in the Great Commission and in faith promise. Verse 25 of the New Living Translation, David built an altar there to the Lord, sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings, and the Lord answered his prayer for the land, and the plague on Israel was stopped because of his obedience. He said, I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord, my God, that have cost me nothing. You see, in reality, the Christian life is not one of what's in it for me. I just want to get saved so I'll go to heaven and not go to hell. But it's, I am here to present my body as a living sacrifice to the Lord so that he can use me and I can be a giver, that I will give of myself. That's not all about me. It's about God. It's about others. And I will be there. You say, I don't have much. This widow came to the collection box in the temple. She saw the crowds dropping the money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than others who are making a contribution. She's given more than you all. They gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. And that's why this back to Acts is all about, that we would recognize that they were with one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say that all of these things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the grace was upon them all. No one lacked anything. All were possessors of lands or houses, sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things they were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed each one as anyone had a need. You say, do I need to go sell my car? Well, if God tells you to. But we need to rearrange our lives in such a way that we'll be able to participate. Faith promise is not a contract. You're not going to get a statement that says you owe, but it's saying that I believe that God has put in my heart this coming year that I will make some personal sacrifices to give. Now, we are to give our 10% plus our offerings already. But Faith Promise is something totally different. It's a different fund that this missionary support comes from. It's called the Faith Promise Fund. And it's given with a separate committee that are stewards and make decisions regarding these funds. And I tell you the truth, every penny was needed. Every penny was accounted for. And we're so glad that we were able to do that this year. But it is an opportunity for us to say, I'm going to make a difference. You say, how can I change my lifestyle? Well, you know, I usually drink water at restaurants because it's now up to $2.50. And, you know, at Dollar General or most anywhere, you can get these little instant coffee things that you get 7 packets for a dollar. And if you divide that up and you put that in some hot water, it's pretty good. Now, it's not Starbucks for $5. But it's finding a way. One of my friends would get a used car and fix it up and sell it every year for his faith promise. Another man would sell a horse from a colt that was born. He had a special plan for doing that. And so God can speak to all of us in different ways of what are we going to give up? What are we going to give up? A 6-pack of Cokes? What are we going to give up? A 2-liter? What are we going to give up in order to say, I want to be part of Faith Promise this year? I want to be able to give. So much a week? $10 a week is $40 a month. And how much is that? $480 a year? Almost $500 a year? Is that how it is? $100 a month is $1,200? $100 a week, wow. $5,200, whatever God speaks to your heart. I want the ushers to pass out the Faith Promise cards and put them in your hands right now. And I want you to hold them for a minute because we're going to pray and we're going to ask you to make this promise by faith. You say, what kind of faith are we talking about? Well, the disciples, Jesus said to some, oh, ye of little faith. But a little bit of faith is better than none at all. And then he says, I've never seen such faith in all of Israel. And he called it great faith. One of our worship songs this morning was that we would by faith rise up and we would make a difference. And we could see what the Lord is saying, what the Lord is doing among us. So much a week, so much a month. And if you need a calculator to multiply that, I think we can find something like that. But we're passing those cards out right now. You know, I used to work for 7-Eleven, and I saw that there was a 7-Eleven in the Philippines. I guess if I'd have stayed with them, I could have been a manager of that store. But I'm so glad that God called me out of that world and called me to where that I can travel the nations and see what God is doing and be part of these great people everywhere in Romania and Israel and South America and Cuba and India and Africa. You like my shirt? I want you to hold those cards up when you get them. Just hold it up to the Lord like you do your tithes and offerings. Everybody can participate. We'll even take a penny a month. Everyone can participate. And as God enables you this coming year, and if you've already done something this year, well, then just make a new commitment. Make it a little bit more. God is always interested in more. Hold it up, and we're going to pray, and I want you to pray personally as I pray that God will speak to your heart. And whatever figure he gives you, you write it down. So much a month, and what's that total for the year? Lord Jesus, we come to you right now, Lord. God, a very important part of our year, where that we project how that we can participate together. And Lord, we never knew when we started this that we would have $31,000 committed. But Lord, we want to see more this year so we can do more, and that we'll be able to reach out and even increase in some of these areas like we have with Tony and Christy in the Philippines. We said we're going to double that we know what you're doing. And Lord, we can only do that as we participate together. So Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts right now as we are able to write on that card what you've put in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you will either through self-sacrifice or through multiplication or a raise at work, a new job, however you can do it, Lord, that you will allow us as a body to participate in this great venture of faith. Lord, this great ability to touch your kingdom worldwide. Lord, for eye has not seen, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that you've prepared for those that love you. And God, we know that you can speak to us right now. So I ask you to do it, and I ask for our participants to hear the voice of the Lord and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Give you just a few moments there to write out what you felt God was saying, and then we're going to pick the cards up. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, you may. This is a missionary we have among us. Church supports the Simpson families too. Yes. Okay.